Next, we have an introduction to computer science. It's one of the courses that's taught at RPI. It's one of the largest courses with nearly 800 students enrolled this semester. This course has been taught for many years, but this semester, things have been shaken up. Here to tell us all about it is Dr. Jim. Now I'm going to mess it up. Doctor, say your name on the air.
Malazita.
And another doctor, Dr.
Chris Tazi.
Tazi. You know what? I was trying to figure out how to pronounce that, and I lost. So what are you guys doing over there at RPI that you're shaking it up?
So the class tries to focus on how do we actually teach issues of social justice, of institutional racism, of institutional sexism within the context of technical courses. So RPI is a technical campus, and many of the social issues that it's important for engineers and technicians to talk about are often sidelined into social science courses or humanities courses, which encourages students to think about these issues as separate from their technical education. So what we're trying to do is reintegrate these types of conversations directly into the classes where they learn their core technical skills.
Okay, I'm totally surprised. That's not what I was thinking, Guy, when they said shake it up. I thought it was like a chemical reaction or something.
No, this is what shaking it up looks like at RPI.
Okay, all right.
Can you tell us about how that works to integrate these social justice ideas into a computer science class?
Yeah, so essentially the students do everything that they would normally do. They learn computer science. We don't change the actual core curriculum in any way. But we have a special section of the course where, in addition to doing the regular work, students meet once a week and we do some readings that are about the various political, social, cultural, et cetera, dimensions of coding and the history of computing, the present of computing, et cetera.
And some of the assignments that we build into the course, the examples and data sets that we use for students to learn Python, which is a basic introductory programming language, focus on how coding and computational thinking, even before the modern era of computing, has been used to marginalize certain peoples or serve other audiences. So one example that we are about to get to this semester is talking about how sorting has been historically used via immigration data to actually place new immigrants in America in shanty towns or in hospitals where they're not exactly taken care of, and how these data sets that are generated by this sort of biased sorting make it into later political decisions that then make it into computational systems that we still use now.
That sounds like such an exciting course.
I'm still in shock. I'm shaking up over here. So how is the course structured?
So as was mentioned earlier, Computer Science 1 is about 800 students. And there's mass lectures that mostly cover basic coding skills, how to write a for loop, how to think algorithmically. What we're doing this semester as a pilot test is the 800 students are broken into smaller sections of about 30 to 40. And in these smaller sections, they usually meet for 10 minutes out of a two-hour time block to turn in some assignment and go home. We force them to stay for the whole 2 hours. We allowed students to opt in to this section. And in this miniature section, we assign different types of lab assignments, assign different types of homeworks, have collective discussion about the different issues in computer science and how they affect different marginalized groups, in addition to making sure they learn how to actually write their code so they can continue on in the later stages of CS education. So we try to not only balance, but really integrate the social issues with the technical knowledge and content.
Okay. So what's your motivation for doing this? I mean, why are you doing this?
Well, I think Jim has probably some somewhat different interests than I do. But personally, you know, part of my research deals with the history of open source software. And one of the things that fascinated me when I was researching open source communities is that it turns out that minority groups are even more underrepresented in open source programming communities than they are in IT as a whole. I mean, it's no secret that IT as a whole has a problem with diversity. But in open source communities, the problem is even greater, which is interesting because in theory, open source is all about merit and promotion based on how good you or how not how good you code, how well you code. So it's a question, and I don't know the full answer to it, but I think the answer has to do with the fact that cultures of computing fundamentally discourage, I think, the participation by marginalized communities. Because if they didn't, then it wouldn't make sense for open source to have this trend, because on its face, it should be about openness and acceptance of everyone, but that's not what the numbers show. So for me, this is a way of trying to think through these issues a little more.
Yeah, and for me, it's about how we get these students out of higher education into things like open source communities. So a big part of my research studies how educational systems themselves encourage discussion, encourage openness about certain types of topics. They legitimize certain volumes of knowledge, and they exclude and delegitimize other kinds of conversations and other kinds of knowledges. And this has a history, right? STEM education was not always apolitical. We used to be able to talk about using technology to make the world better within the context of your technical courses, and that goes away over the course of the 20th century. So trying to bring back these issues, not only in order to diversify the kinds of conversations that computer science students can be fluent in, but also, frankly, diversify the kinds of computer science students that we get in these courses in the first place.
And so how have students been reacting to this?
They've been very positive so far. I mean, we didn't know what to expect. I mean, we're very upfront with them about this, but we're frankly asking them to do more work. And as you know, I mean, RPI students are not exactly...
Right, yeah.
They don't have a lot of free time to begin with. So, but they've been very enthusiastic. Again, the group now is all opt-in, and I think the big experiment would be to see if you could do this by having every single student in CS1 do this. Right now we have, I think, 11 out of 800 or so students total. But overall, I think it's gone very well. The reaction has been very positive.
So what are some of the topics you're covering in the course?
So we've covered everything from the history of computing and how that history has changed over time to incorporate certain people or incorporate certain ideas and not. We also do a lot of work on talking about the prehistory of computing. So where some ideas around modularization and isolation of content come from, where ideas of social knowledge and technical knowledge are separate come from, right? Because that's a choice to organize the way we think about the world in that way. And as we move into the later sections of the course, we're going to be talking a lot more specifically about issues of identity, about what it means to be a woman practicing computer science, about what it means to be a woman of color practicing computer science, and the types of structural issues that they're going to face.
So I think I've found something that I know a little bit about. What it means to be a woman, a minority woman. Now, I'm the first to say you guys are part of my maiden voyage. I am actually running the board for the first time.
And you're doing great.
Talk about technology. So what does it mean to be a minority woman or woman of color in the technology arena? What does that mean? You two as men.
As white men, yes.
I presume to tell you, I don't think. But I mean, I guess that's part of the interesting thing about the course. I don't think either of us has a preconceived vision of what the students are going to learn exactly. We just want them to do these readings. And, as I said, I'm interested in these questions because they kind of come out of my research, but I don't know what the answer is.
So, yeah, and part of the importance in changing how we think about what education does, right? In a traditional computer science or STEM lecture model, the idea is the instructors have all the knowledge, students are containers for knowledge, and we give them that knowledge, right? That's not actually how learning works, right? So in this class, what we're trying to do is focus on the students' experiences and their expertise as learners, because frankly, many of our students know much better about what it means to be an marginalized person than either Chris or I do. And it's important that we are able to highlight their experiences and give them space to talk about their experiences in the context of coding and programming.
So we had a Dr. Ja Kufu on the show, and he was talking about learning styles for boys and girls and people of color, boys of color in particular, and talking about how they learn and receive information differently than the majority community. And so here you are teaching a course. And so do you have a lot of women or men of color in your 800 student. I can't even believe they had 800 students. Do you have a lot of women of color in that course?
The course itself, 800 student-wise, is very male and very white. And the, I would say the opt-in section is pretty diverse. It's mostly mm-hmm. women, and I think mostly women of color, too.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So you're going in the right direction.
We hope so.
Okay. Yeah. Mm-hmm. All right. So.
Yeah, sure. So what's really exciting to me about this course, the way that you've described it now, and I've heard a little bit from you before, is just the idea of really teaching that these fields of computer science and these technical coding skills are not actually separate from the social things. And, you know, this is a pilot for RPI, which has historically kind of like tried to separate out those things. Where would you like to see that those two things, you know, the social and the technical, come together in education in the future? And can I teach that class?
I think that's the big vision here is to try to, you know, bring this beyond computer science. Mm-hmm. I mean, it's the core issues we're dealing with are relevant in any kind of setting, which is most universities today, where you teach technical, you know, so-called, for lack of a better word, technical topics in one classroom, and then you teach the humanities, for lack of a better word, in another classroom. Mm-hmm. And the idea is to really integrate them with the goal of helping right. students understand both the, you know, better.
Yeah. And something that we try to talk about, and that's been core to the design of the course, is that students learn just as much implicitly from the way their curricula are structured as they do explicitly mm-hmm. from the lessons mm-hmm. in the classroom, right? So it's an important part of identity formation when you enter into RPI. And actually, many STEM students go to RPI saying, I want to use technology to change the world, mm-hmm. right? Like, they're not heartless students who
come in.
Right.
They're heartless when they get out.
Yeah, exactly, right? And then they're actually trained out of it that, okay, those issues, it's important to think about the world to be a good person, but you don't need to think about that to be a good engineer. And what we're trying to do is change the focus of identity in that in order to be a good practicing computer scientist, you can't separate out social concerns from technical concerns.
Well, you know, some of the work I do outside of the radio station is education for girls in Kenya. And oftentimes we will get a donation of some sort of technology, and then we'll take it with us to Kenya. And to see the response for someone who's never actually seen a working computer or a computer with updated software, and then trying to figure out how you're going to keep it powered, because that's another issue.
Absolutely.
So bringing technology to the marginalized, shall we say, third world is part of making a difference, right?
And you know, there's this all these great activities that happen at kind of the K through 12 level about recruiting women and more diverse students into computer science and into STEM. But when you look at how they're doing it, they're doing context-based research. They're doing having very explicit conversations about their identity and their practice. They're talking about how to use hands-on technical skills for social good. And it's actually incredibly successful, right? Black Girls Code is an amazing program in New York. And then once they get to college, suddenly all that's changed. Mm-hmm. It's a Dean Neusma and Mike Nalachny have called it a bait and switch, right? Mm-hmm. Where you are baited with all these exciting things about how to use technology for the better. And then once you're into higher education, then suddenly you're told, actually, that's not important. What's important is abstract mathematics. What's important is learning how to code efficiently. And of course, those are important, but these other issues get sidelined out. And that's a choice in our curriculum.
Mm-hmm. With the next few minutes we have left, what would you like our listeners to know about computer science and social justice?
That's a big question.
I only gave you 3 minutes.
I think that people need to think about them in tandem more often. It's, you know, I mean, they're totally separate. It's kind of like, you know, I mean, you go back to Jim's point about, you know, you can't learn to do technical things in one setting and learn to be a human in another setting. Mm-hmm. You know, it would be like somebody who says, I'm going to manufacture weapons all day long and then work at a soup kitchen once a week. And it makes it, you know, okay, because I don't have to think about the moral complications of what I'm doing. So you know, I think you just need to think about these things in direct relationship with each other.
Yeah. And very quickly, that the boundaries of disciplines are always negotiated. What counts as inbounds and out of bounds is always under conflict and under attack. So we can actually be proactive about what we include as technical knowledge and what we don't include in our technical education.
Well, I think the beauty is that you guys have so much knowledge available to you, and there are people out there who need to connect with what you have. There's a need, and you have the answer, and it's just a matter of finding the right connections and the right people to make it happen. Mm-hmm. And so I'm enthusiastic about what you're doing, and I'm going to do Black Girls Code from now on. I don't know. I'm going to learn some new stuff.
Yeah.
It's a great organization.
RE Black Girls Engineering, which is great.
Right.
I want to just one last question. What have you learned from the students so far? Like, you know, you're talking about this model of like, it's not just you putting the knowledge in their heads. So. Right.
We've learned that it's very hard, and it's easy to talk about this thing in the abstract, but sometimes when you're in a coding problem, you do get in these holes, right?
Right.
Where you're just like, I just need to figure out what makes this bug work. Huh. And so the practice of coding kind of encourages you to separate out the technical from the social. So if we were to, when we run this class again, something that we want to focus on is actually embedding the bugs in the system, right? What interrupts the system? What makes the system hard to deal with explicitly social justice content, so that as our students are trying to debug their code, they're also recognizing that they're also debugging culture. Mm.
I like that, debugging culture.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Also, the term bugging in a code, that was invented by a woman computer scientist, right? Mm-hmm. So I just want to historical scientist.
All right, thank you so much, Guy.
Yeah, thank you so much for joining us, Jim Malazita and Chris Tozzi. Thank you so much for enlightening us about computer science and social justice.
Thank you for having us.